Now we ask Brother Frank that he gives us the word. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord. Be welcome May God bless us all from the riches of His grace. And to me came just now the thought, just 1 minute ago, the thought came to me, when our Lord was walking on this earth, people were coming to Him. Their requests were very different, but they all came to Him. Some wanted to hear Him, others needed salvation, then others again needed healing, but all were coming to Him to receive what they were asking for and what they were looking for. The same way it is with us. We are not coming together to hear a man. We are coming to hear God's word. We are coming to get saved, to get healed, and to be blessed. And we not only sing it, we believe it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We welcome all of you from Sweden, from Finland, from Poland, from the Czech Republic, from Slovakia, from Romania, from Austria, from Switzerland, from France, Belgium, yes, from all over Europe. And then we have friends here for the first time from Chile, and them we welcome in a very special way, because this service is transmitted and all the world can listen and watch. Therefore, we will not ask that they should stand up, but yet you shall know that we appreciate it and that we are glad that you can be here. The trials there are not yet over, but the victory is the Lord's, and the victory will be manifested. Brother Manfred and wife, we can of course mention by name. You can of course stand up, one for all. Our sister and our brother, may God bless you in a special way. And may you be a blessing there in Chile. Thank you. Tomorrow morning, we will call you, beloved brother, to greet the church and to say a few words. We have greetings from half of the world, as it is generally known, from Denmark, from Switzerland, Brother Wallström, Brother Graf, Brother Barrier, Brother Etienne Genton. Yes, many are greeting us. Then we have greetings from Nairobi, greetings from Johannesburg, greetings from Cape Town, greetings from the other countries of Africa, greetings from London, from all over. The people are greeting us. And we are greeting all from this place, all over the earth. The ambition of our brethren here at the place is according to the will of the Lord. We wish to expand our transmission facilities, and our goal is that all of the 12 languages into which is being translated just now, that we can broadcast them into all the world, that all in all the main languages can hear and see all who are joined with us and who are joined with the Lord. Then we have our brothers from Brussels. Brother Leonard is here. Brother Didier from Paris is here. Then we have Brother Daniel from Romania in our midst. And then we have for the first time our brother Michael from Pakistan. And him I will ask now just to come and to say one word to us. He just said, Brother Frank, I didn't want to wait. I have come to invite you. Now, coming just briefly to some subjects which make us think. In the recent days, I was writing a circular letter, and I was dealing with four subjects in a special way. But as I said, I just touched upon them. The devastating natural catastrophes, the joint military exercise of China and Russia, the visit of the Pope in Germany, and the evacuation of the Gaza Strip. Just in a few pages, I touched upon it. Please, after the service, when you take this circular, just take one copy so that others are left for others. Then we have here from the internet a lot of information about the current events, about that what is shaping up. From the 13th of September, the headline says, The World Seen from Rome. So, it comes straight from Rome, from the Vatican. An international congress of the European dialogue. Christians, Jews, and Muslims are praying for the first time for the future of Europe. And then one statement in bold letters, act of solidarity between German Catholics and the people of Eastern Europe. The second extract, the Turkish State Department confirms talks about a future Pope visit. One thing comes after the other one. King of Jordan visits Pope Benedict. And then are coming other headlines. The next one, also from the 13th of September, an international conference about the role of Christians in the future Europe. Now, two, three more announcements. Also, from the viewpoint of Rome, here it's written, New York, September 26th. And there really, the foreign minister of the Vatican, he was holding the main speech in the UNO plenary meeting, which was now celebrating its 60th anniversary. Now one more announcement from the 27th of September. A Catholic Lutheran document about the apostolic succession just before the completion. The Holy See and the Lutheran International Alliance are in the end phase of preparing a mutual document about the apostolic succession in the Church. It continues with the view to the USA, also seen here from the viewpoint of the Vatican, bishops from Europe and the bishops from the USA wish to work more closely together in the future. And then the headline, we are here to promote a better understanding between the USA and between Europe. Of Brother Branham, I have a few statements in front of me about storms, about typhoons, about great tidal waves which would come upon the land. Houses are destroyed. Brother Branham has seen it, as the Holy Scripture also predicts it. Brothers and sisters, let us summarize it briefly. Whether it is believed or not, we have really arrived at the end of the end time. The uniting under Rome with all the religions, the uniting with the Church of Luther. We remember also the statement of the Pope in the boat on the Rhine River, looked at as a fisher of men, and the multitude cried out in the English language, "Holy Father, we don't let you go except you blessed us." And we are asking us, how far must it come? When will the eyes of the people be opened? When will they come to their senses? The Holy Scripture says very clearly, "You shall call no man on earth as your father, for there is one who is your father, and he is in heaven." And when we pray, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." What shall one say to it? I just read these headlines for one single reason, to show us how everything is shaping up. Everything is being united, and there are really two unifications, the one under Rome and the other one under Christ. They are all, the biblical statements do not help. If it is not in agreement with the Bible, then it does not come from God. So, it must be in agreement with the Holy Scripture. And in John 17, verse 23, our Lord says, "Father, you in me, and I in them, that we may be one." And thereby, it must remain in the Church of the Living God. But we also recognized that the great falling away was predicted, and it must be there, just as the calling out of the Church must also take place, and the sanctification in the truth, and the purification by the blood of the Lamb. And in the course of this evening, we will still touch upon two or three important subjects. But the main thing is really that we experience God personally, that we experience the grace of God personally, that it becomes our personal experiences. Not only that we hear it in the Holy Scripture, but that we in reality experience God personally. The objective of our God is, of course, that He wants to have sons and daughters eternally around Him. That's the objective. And therefore, the manifestation as Father in His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior. As we said it many times, to give us the adoption, to receive us, and to bring us back into our original position, which we should have from eternity, which we should have for all eternity. If we mention the Pope, if we mention the end time developments, if we speak about these things, then not to expose somebody. For instance, today we have a man in our midst. He is the cousin of the highest cardinal in Switzerland. The cousin of the highest cardinal in Switzerland is here tonight in our midst. And then we have a Jewish friend in our midst who returns to Israel. If we mention certain things, then not to hurt someone, but only to pass on information from God's viewpoint. And the decision is then up to each one personally. God does not force anyone, but He doesn't want that we remain in ignorance. He wants that we hear His word and that we take heed to it. And then comes already the next scripture to fulfillment. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. In the recent times, we especially emphasized that God's promises are finding fulfillment and that God is doing everything according to His word. That's how the New Testament started, and that's how it will also really end. There's only one orientation which we really have, and this is in the Word and through the Word of God. How did our brothers at the beginning know that the Scripture is being fulfilled before them and among them? Because they have been led into the Word by our Lord. And at the latest, in Luke 24, they heard it from His lips. Had not all to be fulfilled what was written in the Law of Moses and in the Psalms and in the prophets? And heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word remains forever. I would like to read some scriptures. The one from the prophet Jeremiah in the first chapter to show us that God watches over His word, namely to fulfill it. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I am watching over my word to perform it. And that we are now living really in the midst of the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, this no one will dispute. And if it is written in the prophet Daniel, seal up the words of the book until the end time, then the moment must have come in the end time where the secret, the hidden things was revealed. And God reveals always the word of the hour. And it would not help us to know what God did in the past if we would not know what He promised for our time. Even if we mention the ministry of Brother Branham, brothers and sisters, to be honest, it is not about the messenger, it is about the message. But also, secondly, also to be very honest, can there be a message without a messenger? It belongs together. We did not hear what the messenger said, but what God spoke through his mouth. And we received the word of the Lord with all our hearts. Now coming to the point. If we were reading that the Lord God himself said, I am watching over my word to perform it, to fulfill it. Was it not the beginning of the New Testament? Must it not be the same at the end, that God again watches over his word? And just now, we will come to the most important point. The Redeemer was, of course, announced. And all the promises became reality. The hour came, the day came, where Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 became true. The hour came, where 2 Samuel 7, 14 became true. The moment came, where Psalm 2, verse 7 became true. The moment came where Isaiah 7, verse 14 became true. The moment came where Micah 5 became true. Everything became true. And we must say it here. This is our duty before God. We must say it to the people that God is watching over his word. And when the moment has come, then his word comes to fulfillment. No man can hinder or stop it. And if Paul then writes in Acts chapter 20, that he preached the whole counsel of God, and in the letter to the Ephesians, he wrote that all the things which were hidden to the children of men were now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets. Then God always had men who prophesied, and God had men who were present when it happened. And therefore, our Lord also said, ye shall be my witnesses. And when the Lord called Paul, and he said, I've ordained you as a witness, I send you to the Gentiles. It must be people who were present when God did something supernatural. The main promise, as already mentioned, is of course our Redeemer. And it really came to pass. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel came to Mary and delivered unto her the word of promise. Please, listen now very closely. The supernatural came down into the natural. Mary was a part of the fallen creation. But here's the point. In order to take the fallen creation out of the fall, the Lord of glory had to be laid into the fallen creation. And therefore, it's written in Psalm 22, verse 9, and this I would like to read with us. Psalm 22, verse 9. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. There are translations which say, you are the one who take me out of the mother's womb. Both is right. I said it here already once. In both languages, in Hebrew and in Greek, for begetting and for birth, there is just one word for it. For instance, in the Epistle of John, we have it time and again. He who is born of God. Just read it up. In brackets, he who is begotten of God. You can just now, you can read it up. In 1 John chapter 5 or chapter 3, you can read it. And therefore, both is right. You have laid me into the mother's womb. You have taken me out of my mother's womb. And here's the point. If we read of the only begotten Son of God, then nothing came from Mary, but everything came from God. Holy Spirit has overshadowed, and the power of the Most High came down. Our Lord, in the flesh, he was Son of Man, but born, he was 100% Son of God. You all know, in the natural, the man has his part and the woman has her part. God made it this way. But at this begetting of God, and just now, we are coming to a very important point. There may not be a mixing. The pure divine seed must be laid into us. Because Jesus Christ was the promised seed since the Garden of Eden. And therefore, he was laid here into the mother's womb to be born into this world. So that we, who we were born into this world, can receive already now in this fallen body the supernatural seed of the Word. And that God can work in us a new begetting, a begetting by the Spirit. Of course, the Word must be laid into us. It must be planted. And as we said it many times, a wheat corn has a germ of life in it. But the germ of life will not come forth in 100 years if the seed remains in the garner. Only if the seed is being sown, then the corn dies. And only when the corn died, then the germ of life, which is hidden somewhere in it, then it comes forth unto a new life. Therefore, we must, when we really receive the Word of God, we must die to ourselves. We must die together with Christ. We must be buried with Him to then walk together with Him in a new life. Let us come back to our point. God is watching over His Word. Also today, also tonight, He's watching over His Word to fulfill it in us, in you and in me. Brothers and sisters, we not only have object lessons here to then go home later on, but we want to be part of the matter, to know this is the hour of God. And prophets and righteous men desired to live now, to experience what God is doing right now by His grace. And we have really the orientation from the Word of God. And be honest, if Paul writes to the Corinthians in the second chapter, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. One cannot have discussions about Bible subjects. Either it is revealed to us, and one brother does not need to teach the other brother. But this is our teaching. They all shall be taught by God. Through the Word, and that's what it's all about. When Brother Branham received his commission, you know it very well. He was told already in 1933, he was told 2 Timothy chapter 4. And 2 Timothy 4, he laid it into the cornerstone of the tabernacle, and he bought himself a new Bible, because there is written, the time will come where they will not endure the sound doctrine, and will heap to themselves teachers upon teachers. Brothers and sisters, this is the stand even today. Be honest. All the churches believe what is told to them. They all have their creeds. And I say it very honestly. This bishop in Nairobi, I hope he doesn't hear it now. And if he hears it, so let him hear it. But he came then to me in the hotel room, because there was a special moment where they had the Lord's Supper there. And before the Lord's Supper was handed out, maybe I shall say it, afterward we will have the Lord's Supper tonight, there was no bread there. They poured out white bags filled with Catholic wafers, and plenty of them. They poured it out into round bowls. And as the next, there came not a cup, but also a little tray, each with about 36 little glasses in it. And really, I of course saw it, how it passed my eyes. I saw it. The glasses were a bit larger than a thimble. And of course, I didn't partake of it. But here comes the point. For the first time, I heard it now in a Pentecostal church, that a man was reading Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles, in the breaking of bread, in the fellowship, and in prayers. And then he really, on top of this unbiblical Lord's Supper, he even added, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You of course can imagine what went on in me. Everybody can read what is written in Revelation, what is written in Acts, what is written here or there. But how is it with the practice? Yes, they were reading and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles. And the gentlemen do not even think about to even read up what is the doctrine of the apostles and what it means. Yes. Or in the breaking of bread. It was blasphemy. Yes. And then this man comes to me. When I was criticizing this, I was criticizing it very strongly. And he said, Brother Frank, we believe that you are a prophet. I said, I'm not a prophet, but I'm the least man of God. And I was telling him some things and correcting some things. And you know what the man said? Brother Frank, you may come again. You may speak about the end time. You may speak about Bible prophecy. But our doctrine, you may not touch.
Ja, was soll ich dann?
What shall I do there? What shall I do there?
Hat der Herr
Has not the Lord taken the whip? Has he not cleaned up? Has he not overthrown the tables of the money changers? One cannot please man and God at the same time. And Paul said it very clearly in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. If I yet wish to please men, I'm not even a servant of Christ. Then I'm a servant of men. And therefore, we appreciate it so much that God was watching over His Word. That He really, before the door closes, before everything goes into perdition, He has given a wake-up call by His grace. And this is, of course, Matthew 25. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out. Prepare yourself to meet him. What good is it for the people if they speak about the return of Jesus Christ and not even think about to make a preparation first? And here's the mystery. Just as it is in the natural, when bride and bridegroom are looking towards the wedding day, then most certainly they are exchanging thoughts and intentions. A bridegroom, of course, doesn't walk around the city and speaks with every woman whom he meets, but he speaks with his bride, because with her, he wants to share the life. And so it is now. The bridegroom speaks with the bride. And Brother Branham preached a whole sermon, the heavenly bridegroom and the earthly bride. And this is now the choosing of the bride, the calling out of those who belong to the bride church. This is not a conceit or an imagination. This is divine reality in our time. And if it is written, before the day of the Lord comes, God will send a prophet, then this is not my word. Then God was watching over this word of promise. And when the time was fulfilled, He sent the man. I cannot say, why did you choose the most simple man on earth? You all know his education was very short, and his knowledge of the language was also not the best. But God's word says, what is foolish before the world, this God has chosen to bring to naught the wisdom of the wise. A prophet could be shepherd. He could grow mulberry trees. Doesn't matter what. Important was that God has taken men who do not mix things, but who pass on God's word in such a way as they received it from the mouth of God. And for this, we are very, very grateful. Do you think we are writing a whole brochure? In the beginning was the word and not the interpretation. Brothers and sisters, this is more important than some probably think. What has the first interpretation brought to you and me, to all of us, and to all of mankind? What did it bring? The separation from God, thrown into death, without hope, being in this world. And yet mankind was ordained to live eternally with God. And then after the fall, the Lord God had to say that He by no means stretches out His hand and eats of the tree of life and lives eternally. Just imagine, After the fall, you can read it up. After the fall, God had to drive the fallen man out of paradise so that he does not eat of the tree of life to live eternally in this fallen condition. What does God want with people in eternity who are in the fallen condition? No, we have been taken out of the fall. We have been brought back through Calvary. And why is the emphasis so much on the blood of the Lamb, which was shed for our reconciliation? Of course, because the life of the body is in the blood. That's how it is written in Leviticus 17, verse 11 and 12. And then also in verse 14 and 15. Therefore, the Son of God had to come to this earth in the body of flesh and blood, so that we, who we are in this body of flesh, get the access to God by the power of the redemption, by the power of the shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Receiving the access to God, receiving forgiveness and reconciliation, and then receiving the Word in us so that the Spirit can work the new life in all of us. So, not Christianity, but Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not some kind of religion, but really, as written in John 17, verse 3, so that they might know you, the only true God, and whom you have sent, Jesus Christ. It is about the revelation of God in his only begotten Son, which we received and accepted by faith. We don't need to interpret anything, but to receive. And therefore it is written in the Gospel of John, in chapter 1, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, namely, even to them who believe on his name. And then is again written, we all can read it up, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And we can again read, ye search the scriptures, and you think to have eternal life in it, but to me you don't want to come. One can search the scriptures. One can use scriptures. One can decorate themselves from top to bottom. Firstly, the birth must take place by the Spirit of God. As also the Son did not pre-exist somewhere, but in all of the New Testament, he was really, in the Old Testament, he was really the Lord. Therefore it is written, unto you is born this day in the city of David, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And Elizabeth said, how come that the mother of my Lord is coming to me? Not a single time it's written in the Bible, God the Son. Not a single time. Not a single time does it say in the Bible, God the Holy Ghost. But 36 times in a row it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to go into the subject now, but if I know something out of experience, then it is God and the subject about the Godhead. This is just like that. No man can take it from himself. It must be given to us by God. The access into the Holy of Holies, you don't prepare it yourself, and I don't prepare it myself. It must be given to us by God himself. And then We are being taught by him. Then the Ark of the Covenant opens. Then we hear God's word in the original. And then there is not one single misunderstanding. Therefore, our Lord asked time and again whether the disciples understood everything. Even at the end of the seven parables in Matthew 13, the question was, have you understood all this? And they answered, yes, Lord. May it be so with all of us, that we really, by the revelation of the Spirit, that we really understand the Scripture, that we can place and position the various manifestations of our God according to the plan of salvation. Just to say it once more, our Lord had to become everything for us. He had to be mediator of the new covenant. He must be advocate. He had to be the Lamb of God. He had to and is the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, Son of Abraham. This all are terms, not only terms, but it was necessary to cover all areas pertaining to the plan of salvation of our God, to realize and to administer them, to fulfill them. And therefore, everything what was announced in the law, what was promised in the prophets, everything came to fulfillment. And so we see our Lord, even as the Son of Man, walking in the midst of the seven golden lampstand. We hear him as he speaks. We see that he had his messengers and that he addressed his word to them. And we also understood what is written in Revelation 1, from verse 1 to 3, that God revealed to his servant John what was meant for all servants, to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. This he revealed unto his servant. What God reveals to his apostles and prophets is meant for all servants of God who are called to preach the word. This access God has given us. We did not look for it. And we did not want it. We knew just as much as all the others. But now, coming to the point, brothers and sisters, also you all, you who are hearing God's word in this time, you who take all the reproach upon you, and we all know, especially in our country and in the neighboring countries, or even all over the world, we are all looked upon with rejection. We are despised and rejected. And the people think of us that we are in a strong error. But our Lord said, ye are in error because you don't know the Holy Scripture. That's how it is written in Mark 7. And there is also written, in vain do they worship me, because they are teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. What good is a great Pentecostal church? What good is even the speaking in tongues? What good is the music, which can sometimes get very strong, if nobody is here who still hears what the Spirit has to say to the churches? And firstly, because nobody is here who can be used as God's mouthpiece, because before the people can hear what the Spirit says unto the churches, Before that, it must be preached what God has promised. And then the people can hear and believe and receive and getting it revealed. Is it not written of John the Baptist that he prepared the way for the Lord? Is it not written that he preached? The axe is already laid to the root of the trees, and every tree which does not bring forth good fruit is hewn down and thrown into the fire. A man of God, as Brother Branham, has no choice. He had to preach God's word. Who was it in these days? One brother reminded me when Brother Branham spoke about the Trinity doctrine, and he was referring to a dream in which was a woman shown. And you can look up the Old Testament. God called Israel his wife in Jeremiah, in Hosea. And in the New Testament, there are shown two women. The one in Revelation 12, crowned with a crown of 12 stars. So shown as the church. And the other one, the great whore, which is riding on the beast and which commits fornication with all the kings of the earth and so forth. But Brother Branham was referring to that dream, and there was a man with a three-cornered club, and he was beating up this woman time and again. And as this woman was getting up on her feet again, then again came a knock with the three-cornered club. And the Spirit said to him, "This is the doctrine of the Trinity." Every time when God gives a revival, then comes the doctrine of the Trinity, and everything is knocked down again. Now I'm asking you, what has taken place since the time of Reformation? Just now, we had the 450-year anniversary with the Confession of Augsburg. We, of course, have some years behind us. What has happened in all the revivals? And we don't say anything against any revival. Revival comes from God. Revival came from God in the time of Luther. And also with all the men before him, be it Wycliffe in England, be it Hus in Prague, or who they were. God always sent revivals. Yeah, and then? What came then? Then came the doctrine of the Trinity in the new revival. And the new life was again knocked down. It could not even come up at all. It could not be manifested. How was it with all the other revivals? Great men of God. Let us take John Wesley. Let us take John Smith. Let us take William Booth. Let us take all these great men, up to Finney and Moody and who they were, and even up into our time. Revival, everybody wants. But then they come with the old club and knock everything down again. In this last revival, a bright church must come forth in the true doctrine, which cannot be knocked down again. The victory of God will be on our side. God will manifest himself. This one does not need to explain further here. This is just a part of the perfection of the bride church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as it was at the beginning, so it must be at the end. No one needs to explain things, but we all should believe as the Scripture has said. In view to the Lord's Supper, brothers and sisters, there are really some things which must be said. Also, Scriptures must be read. But please receive the first part of this service fully in you. as the Son was the promised word, as he was the promised seed, and as the Holy Spirit was overshadowing Mary, and as it was, as the seed was laid into her, so it must be with us. If we want to be part of the first fruits, if we really want to partake in the rapture, then we cannot just believe in general, but we must believe as the Scripture has said, and we must receive the seed of the Word of God in us, so that the Spirit of God can really beget the true life of God in us. From just a thought, nothing comes. It must become reality. Just as in the natural, so also in the spiritual. To me, it's overwhelming that the Almighty God has found a way to come to us, into the fallen creation, and yet remaining what he was and who he was, to take us out of the fall and to bring us back into the divine stand. This is redemption. This is reconciliation. This is the plan of salvation of our God, which we may experience personally by his grace. So, not only an object lesson, but to experience God in a supernatural way. Do it like Mary did. And of her it's written, "Blessed art thou, you who believed. Be it unto you as you believed and as you were told." Faith comes into action in the moment where we hear God's word. And I tell you, if we receive tonight the thought as a promise that we really receive the seed of the word in us, then the Spirit of God must and will come upon us. The burden will be taken from us. May the people scoff. May they say what they like. Earthly speaking, our Lord, from his birth up to his crucifixion, he was scoffed at. He was mocked. He was not mocked at because he healed the sick. He was not scoffed at because he multiplied the bread. But, this is the son of Joseph. The whole thing was just covered up. Yes. As the scribes said, he was born out of wedlock. Would it not have been easy for God that Mary would have returned in her parents' house and would remain there and to be protected there, and Joseph would not then not have come under suspicion? Then the detractors would have had nothing. Then the whole troublesome situation would not even have come up. But it had to be this way, so that the word might be fulfilled. Where is it written? Hosea 11. I've called my son out from Egypt. And then the angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, "Son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife." And then came the escape to Egypt. And Joseph obeyed and went. But God permits it so that the people have a cause and say, one moment. They covered it up nicely. No one was covering up. The virgin conceived was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Scripture declares. But also we are coming in situations in our lives where a suspicion can come up. Important is that God is with us in the matter, and that we really stand firm in all the trials. People may say what they like. We remain standing on it. God promised a prophet. And if we believe that the end time has come, then he had to come on the scene before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes, before the sun loses its light, and before the moon turns into blood. This was God's decision. He watched over his word and fulfilled it in our time. Now, the one point. Whoever cannot believe this promise should not marvel that it is not revealed to him. Only if we receive God's promise in us, if we believe it, then they are revealed to us. Otherwise, we can be here for decades and nothing will happen. But in the moment, I repeat, O blessed art thou, because you believed. Because you believed. Be it done unto you as you were told. The same it is with us. Blessed are we then if we can believe as the scripture says it. Just to respect that God had to watch over his word. There was no other way. God watches over his word to fulfill it. And he's watching over us, who we may experience the fulfillment of his word by grace. The calling out, the separation, the purification, the sanctification, everything what God promised in his word. And if you have part in it, then you can also say an amen to it. Because that's how God made it. I can nothing for it. And when the people are saying, they are following a man. This one could have said also at the River Jordan, when all of Jerusalem and all of Judea came to the River Jordan to hear John the Baptist, to be baptized by him. This one could have said in every revival, they are following that man. No, we are not following any man. We are following Jesus Christ, our Lord, by grace. And therefore, we are very grateful with all our hearts. Now, today, tonight, we have the Lord's Supper. And for this, just briefly, some scriptures which speak about it, also about the one bread. For us, this word is holy. If it is written here in Matthew 26, from verse 29, one moment, from verse 26, here it's written, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread. He did not pour out a bag with wafers. He took bread. He took the bread, which was prepared for the Passover, without leaven, because the church should be without leaven, spiritually speaking now. Our Lord said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And therefore, in the people of Israel, during a whole week, they were not allowed to have any leaven in the house. And our Lord, at the Passover, as they were eating, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it. The same it is written in Mark chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. We don't need to say it again and again. The one is the cup with the wine, and the other is the blood of the Lamb. On the cross of Calvary, no cup was poured out. On the cross of Calvary, the side of our Lord was opened, and the blood came forth for our redemption. And according to Hebrews, our Lord, who as the Lamb of God shed his blood on the cross of Calvary, as high priest, he went with his own blood into the Holy of Holies to obtain an eternal redemption for us before the throne of grace, making it valid. So we thank God. I was once speaking to a man, and I don't want to mention the denomination, and he said, I think it was here in Krefeld, in the front of the main station, when he said, listen now, gentlemen, the blood of the Lamb, of which you just spoke now, this has been absorbed by the sand, and we have nothing of it anymore. No, no, not one drop, not one drop has drained away in the sand. It was shed for your and my redemption. And as written, our Lord, as high priest, not as lamb, as lamb he gave his life, as lamb he was slain, as lamb he's shown again in Revelation 5. Brothers and sisters, get used to believe every word as it is written. Get used to leave every word where and as it is written. There's no other way. Interpretations are behind us, for us, before us. It's only the clear and true word and the leading into all the mysteries of the scripture. Then we have the word also in Luke, where the Lord, or where it is confirmed to us the third time that our Lord celebrated the Passover. And then also in John 13, where our Lord did both, where he handed out the bread and where the foot washing took place. Maybe we should read the word from the Gospel of John in chapter 13, because of those who probably are not yet acquainted, especially with the foot washing. And please, don't feel forced to the Lord's Supper, and also don't feel forced to the foot washing. It must be done out of love to the Lord, not as a must. No, our Lord said, as often as we eat the bread and as often as we drink from the cup, we do proclaim the death of the Lord until he returns. He who likes to proclaim his death together with us until he returns, let him partake of the bread and then also of the cup. And then it says here, from the foot washing, John 13, John 13, from verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God. Just very important. Also, coming forth from God. Very important. In John 16, it's written three times, coming forth from God. Believe me that I came forth from God. Not existing next to God, but as Son coming forth from God. Just as in the natural, a Son comes forth from his Father. And in all of the Old Testament, no man on earth prayed to a heavenly Father. But 6,000 times it's written, the Lord God, Lord God, Lord of hosts. No one prayed to a Son. Was not even possible. It was the announcement in all of the Old Testament. I will be Father to him, and he shall be Son unto me. And you can find it confirmed in Hebrews, in chapter 1, in verse 5. Both places from the Old Testament are repeated there in the New Testament. Namely, 2 Samuel 7, verse 14, and Psalm 2, verse 7. Both is written in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 5, as a confirmation that the words of the Old Testament found their fulfillment. You already see, we are always coming into the teaching part. Then it says here, from verse 12, in John 13, so, after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. One does not need to add anything to this word, just like not to any other word. I know, when we recently celebrated the Lord's Supper in Chile, this was without the foot washing. And just imagine, after 40 years, for the first time, all these brothers and sisters there, they have celebrated the Lord's Supper. And I'm just so thankful. I wished that all are listening now, also in the city of Fundo, and whoever they were, and where they are, we are joined with you, and we thank God who has laid everything in such a wonderful way. Not so, brothers and sisters. There are ways of God, there are leadings of God, which just speak for itself, which does not need to explain, but which speak for itself. Now, just to illuminate the subject of the Lord's Supper with two or three more scriptures, the place in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, this we all know. We all know it. from 1 Corinthians 10, only a few are reading. Today, I would like to read both, but only the respective verses. In 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Maybe the second part from verse 23 also, because it belongs to it. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body for you." Did you notice the addition here? To the in comparison to the Gospels. In the Gospels, it's only written, "This is my body." Here it says, "This is my body for you. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Brothers and sisters, as we said many times, he who just reads the four Gospels about the baptism, about the Great Commission, and does not go to the book of Acts, he has not the carrying out. He's walking around in the dark. One must go to the carrying out. Everything what pertains to a subject, one must take everything together. Now, let us read the special verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. From verse 14, 1 Corinthians 10, from verse 14. "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" You see? This is my blood. And here? Is it not the communion, the fellowship of the blood of Christ? Has the blood not accomplished everything and did everything for us to bring us into fellowship with God and into fellowship with one another? The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ and through the blood? The fellowship with God, the reconciliation with God, the fellowship with one another, the reconciliation with one another, forgiveness, grace, everything was given to us by the blood of the Lamb, by His grace. Then it says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Yes. And now one could ask, whom does the apostle mean here? Does he mean the body of the Lord, as it was beaten there, and as it was crucified there? Or does he speak already of the church? Let us read. Verse 17. Firstly, the last part from verse 16. Is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. There the body of the Lord, here the redeemed church, as the body of the Lord, composed of many members. Brothers and sisters, God's word is wonderful. It gives information, it gives teaching. As sure as we have one bread, and as sure as this one bread is broken, so sure the body of the Lord, the church, is one body. By one Spirit are we all baptized into that one body. As written, straight in the next chapter, in 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, from verse 12, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So, first the body of the Lord, which was smitten and beaten, the blood of the Lamb, which was shed for our redemption and reconciliation. And then the redeemed church, as a result of the redemption work, as one body, who has fellowship through the blood of the Lamb in the Holy Ghost. Because the fellowship is the fellowship of the Spirit, but because of the blood of the Lamb, in which was the divine life, which returns back on us by the Spirit. This is the great mystery. The life of God was in the blood of God, in the blood of the Lamb. The blood was shed, the life was released, and with the blood he entered as high priest into the Holy of Holies to bring life to the Spirit. Because Spirit is not just a term, Spirit and life, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So, a redeemed church by the blood of the Lamb, ordained for fellowship with God and ordained for fellowship with one another. And as we have this one bread, and as we will break it, so we are one body, one church, but a church which is made up of many members, and yet it is one unity. As Paul has written to the Ephesians, until we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Brothers and sisters, God is faithful. He's watching over his word. He's watching over us. And he will be with us also tonight. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us stand up, and then we will have the Lord's Supper. Maybe the two sisters can in between sing a few songs, and then we will break the bread. For this large number, tonight, we baked a tremendous bread, and we are just so glad that we can share it and that we can have the Lord's Supper together tonight. As you see, we all together have one cup for the right side, one cup for the left side, and two for the middle. But no glasses, but still one cup. Yes, sisters, do you want to sing? Or take a microphone? And then, first we thank. How shall we do it? Let us thank first for the bread. Faithful Lord, we are so thankful and happy that we can take heed to your word. Whatever you promised, we want to do accordingly and act accordingly. Not only that we read it and then doing differently as we like and wish, but as you promised. Oh, may it take place in our midst. I ask it, Lord. May you all bless who partake of this bread. Faithful Lord, the bread represents your body, which was broken for us on the cross of Calvary, and we as the church. Faithful Lord, we ask you, may you bless from the riches of your grace. May you bless this bread. May each one be blessed who partakes of it. We ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Do you have a microphone?
Nur der Glauben wird gesehen.